This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, you have conquered the week. Glory, hallelujah. We are on the weekend track now, baby. And we are going to have such a great time tonight. On the world famous Jesse Kelly Show, we have amazing, amazing questions. FISA, FBI, CIA stuff. Someone wants to talk about the blockade. Are we arming Iranians? Some guy eats faster than his wife and then eats all of her food. Why do so many politicians get a little too handsy with the ladies? We're going to talk about snoring. Do I have any new fears that have popped up as I've gotten older? All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And let me get this out of the way. A little disclaimer, which I throw out there often when it comes to breaking news stories, because as much fun as it is to pretend to be a journalist.
It's Journalist Jesse.
I'm actually not one. The situation in Iran is very fluid. Donald Trump has been all over social media all day long. All day. We've got a deal. We got everything we wanted. The Strait of Hormuz is open. Life is good. Everything's perfect. It certainly looks like things are trending in the right direction. That is wonderful. We don't know anything for sure yet. And in this belligerent part of the world, we just don't know anything for sure yet. So I'm not going to cover all the latest and greatest for the next 3 hours, because the second you cover something, we have a peace deal. Then they start lobbing missiles at somebody. And it works this way every time. I've warned you about this the whole time. So I'm just not touching it with a 10-foot pole. All right. All right. Let's get on to the questions. There are so many good ones. This might be the greatest day for questions we've ever had. It really might be. Oh, great and magnanimous Oracle. Magnanimous is a great word, Chris. FISA has been repeatedly abused by the FBI and the CIA and obviously needs a change. My question for you is, should it be a full repeal or a rewrite to keep the techniques to target foreign intelligence? What say you? All right, so let's just cover a very basic part of FISA. What is it? What is it supposed to be? It's supposed to be purely about foreign countries, foreign terrorists, foreigners. It's not supposed to be for American citizens. It's a way to grab data, tap phone calls, emails, things like that. We'll use Al-Qaeda because that's an easy one. There's some guy in Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and he's sending an email in to someone in the United States of America. FISA gives the government the authorization to grab that email. Now, that's how it was sold. And functionally, sometimes that's how it works. But here's the problem. Let's say Abdul, the Al-Qaeda guy in Afghanistan, let's say he emails Chris. Chris and him are emailing back and forth. Probably be an odd combination. But anyway, him and Chris, they're emailing back and forth. Okay? Well, the government is going to grab the Al-Qaeda email. But Chris's email too. But Chris is an American citizen. But wait, there's more. Chris and I send emails. We mostly just text, but Chris and I send emails. I'm not involved with the Al-Qaeda guy at all. Now, wait a minute. Now you've got my stuff too. This is what happens. It becomes a big net, and the information on Americans is obtained, and it shouldn't be that way. But what happens is this. Every single time, every Republican falls for it. Every single one of them do. Donald Trump just fell for it too. We have to have FISA. Why? Well, what happens is you sit down and you let's say you're President Trump. You understand how evil the FBI and CIA are, not were, are, how many communists are part of these organizations, the evil things they've done around the world. Trump knows all that. Trump's been the victim of all that. And you think to yourself, well, we can't let these guys have the power of FISA anymore. Not after the way they've abused their power. We can't let that happen. But here's what happens. Who's CIA director? John Ratcliffe. By the way, I hear great things. Good guy. This is nothing against John Ratcliffe. Not at all. Kash Patel, head of the FBI. What happens? They get a report from their own people. CIA guys, experienced CIA guys, come to John Ratcliffe and they say, the threat level is really high right now. We think Al-Qaeda might be bringing in a nuclear bomb to New York City. Maybe tomorrow. It's that dire. Dangerous. Same guys at the FBI. Come sit down with Kash Patel. Hey, listen. Situation's pretty frightening right now. They might be releasing a biological weapon in Los Angeles right now. Now more than ever, we have to have FISA. And then what happens? Kash Patel puts all this stuff in a little binder. John Ratcliffe puts all this stuff in a little binder. They go sit down in front of the president. Remember, these are people he appointed, people he trusts. And they say, and they probably believe, hey, Mr. President, look, I don't like FISA either. And I know what the FBI and CIA used to do, but I've seen all the intelligence. Do you want to see this classified information? I have this classified information. Look at this. Look at this. Nuclear bomb in New York City. Do you want to be the president who watches a nuclear bomb go off in New York City? Who watches a biological super agent be released in Los Angeles? Mr. President, we're talking about 5 million dead Americans. We have to have FISA now. More than ever. And they all fall for it. Every one of them. I'm convinced they always will. Well, it is really important. I mean, we can't, I guess we have to have it. I can't have a nuclear bomb going off in New York City. And then the FBI and CIA go back and snicker in their offices as these two gigantic evil agencies abuse the American people and govern the country. That's what happens. They govern the country. We have an FBI that can and does destroy people's lives. They protect Democrats. They attack Republicans. They arrest them as fast as humanly possible. If you happen to be a brave whistleblower like Garrett O'Boyle, Steve Friend, you simply get fired. Then they never actually bring you back. You just lose your entire career and get completely screwed over. CIA has for decades taken down governments. That's what they do. Take down governments the United States of America doesn't have a problem with. Well, or the United States of America has a problem with. Well, that's a little bit of a problem when they decide to set their eyes domestically. And soon you have heads of the CIA signing on to a letter calling Hunter Biden's laptop Russian disinformation just to make sure Joe Biden wins an election and Donald Trump doesn't. A little bit of a problem, wouldn't you say? These agencies are inherently evil and cannot be reformed. It is not humanly possible. Yes, you can cut off this guy or that guy, fire this person. You can do the best you can to rein them in. But once you have handed the power we have handed to secret state police agencies, you have handed them the power to destroy you. I've brought up before the Roman Praetorian Guard. You've probably heard of them before. The Roman Praetorian Guard, you see, Roman citizens, they were not allowed to carry swords or anything like that, weapons inside the city of Rome. Rome created the Praetorian Guard, this elite group of soldiers, armed, swords, spears. We have to have somebody out there fighting crime, keeping the peace, protecting the emperor. But it didn't take that long. The Praetorian Guard started looking around saying, wait a minute, I'm the only one with a sword. I've got a shield and a spear. What does the emperor have? He has me. I kind of think I'm in charge now. And they just started killing emperors and doing whatever they wanted. This is the danger of empowering, of ever empowering a domestic agency of any kind with the kind of power we have given the FBI and CIA. These organizations are evil to their very core. They should be defunded and destroyed. Fire every single employee, burn down the building after everyone's out of it, and never raise it again. And that may sound extreme. I would argue we could. We're not going to. We could spend the next 3 hours on the evil things these organizations have done to America, and you would probably agree with me at the end of the 3 hours. But it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we have to move on from such things. Before we move on, let's get your cell phone. I want you to pick up your cell phone right now, and I want you to look at it. And I want you to say to yourself, I'm funding communism when I pay my cell phone bill. Because if you have Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you are. And I don't even need you to take my word for it. Go look up any of those companies. And Pride Month. Go look up AT&T and Pride Month. You happy to be paying for all that rainbow crap? Go look up Pure Talk. That's my cell phone company. You know, they're on the exact same towers, so you're not sacrificing service. They'll charge you less. You're not going to find any Pride Month stuff with Pure Talk. They don't do that. They're busy helping veterans and hiring Americans and charging you less for your cell phone service. That's the kind of company you need to patronize. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. By the way, unlimited high-speed data now for $34.99 a month. Talk, text, data, unlimited. $34.99. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to knock out a couple Iran questions here really quickly. I wanted to remind you, though, of what I told you a while ago. You shouldn't be surprised or angry. I said, once we made the decision to go, it was only going to end one of two ways. A long, costly, probably ground war, or a peace deal with Iran that's going to have some things you don't like. Remember that wish list of theirs they sent over? I mean, it was ridiculous, obviously, but I told you, something in there is going to be in the peace deal. So just know, if we have a peace deal, it's a good thing. It was never going to be perfect. It was never going to be perfect. If we're wrapping things up, it's a good, good thing. All right? Dr. Jesse, please help me understand the blockade. I thought no ships were exiting Hormuz. Even before the blockade, wasn't there a problem getting insurance? Was someone lying to us? Okay, so here was the deal before. Here's what was happening before. Here's what's happening now. So on and so forth. Here. First, you know, Strait of Hormuz. We're not going to cover it all again. We've covered it 1,000 times. 20% of the world's oil flows through it. Big, big deal. And Iran has always understood that, I say controlling it, but threatening it basically was one of their great weapons because it's an economic weapon. You can hurt the economies of every country on the planet if you do such things. So threatening it was always their thing. Now, Iran, as evil and sick as they are, they're not stupid. They understood that their Navy was never going to stand up against America's Navy. No Navy could. Our Navy is nasty. We have all kinds of just, they were never going to stand a chance. Their Air Force was never going to stand a chance. So if you can't beat somebody conventionally, how many history stories have we talked about, battles have we talked about? If I can't stand and fight you face to face and win, well, I'm going to go to other means. I'll find a way to sucker punch you in some way. I'll cheat. I'll do whatever. What did Iran do? Iran always had a plan for mining. Remember what BK came on the show and told us, by the way. You think of mines, or maybe you think of mines like they used to be, a big explosive that's kind of below the surface. It's not sticking out, but a ship will run deep enough to hit one, blow it up, big problem. Now, mines have advanced to the point they get embedded in the seafloor, and they detect the ship over top of them and blow up. But that wouldn't work, right? Remember, explosions always, no matter where they happen, the force will travel the path of least resistance. Explosions that happen underwater, the force always goes up, no matter what, up, because up is where less pressure is. A mine that explodes on the seabed floor of the Strait of Hormuz will jet up enough force to damage, blow up, sink. Depending on the ship, it's not good. You don't want to be the ship over top of one. Imagine a ship full of oil that has an explosion like that underneath it. That's really not good. So, what happens? These ships, we're talking billions of dollars between the ship and the cargo. The ships, all ships that have this kind of stuff on them, they have insurance. The ocean's a very dangerous place, whether you're talking about Iran or anywhere else. Bad weather comes up, God only knows what happens. Ships go down. You're not going to put billions of dollars out on the ocean without insuring it. You have to have insurance on that ship. And in a lot of ways, insurance controls the world. The ships were not getting insurance anymore because Iran dropped mines in the Strait of Hormuz. They mined it. Now, that was why it was closed. So what did Trump do? Trump sent in the United States Navy to demine it, to open it. According to Trump, he said earlier today, Iran is now helping us do that. So what's the deal with the blockade? The blockade was this. It wasn't to stop every ship. That was not the point of it. We want the other ships, the other country's ships going back and forth in the blockade. The blockade was designed to crush Iran. So if you're a ship going to an Iranian port or leaving from an Iranian port, you're not allowed. Not allowed. We will stop you. We will sink you. You are not allowed to do it. It basically cut off Iran economically in the Strait of Hormuz. It was Trump adding pressure to the Iranian regime. You can imagine what their economy must look like at this point in time. It was Trump adding pressure to the Iranian regime, trying to get them to agree to a deal. A deal that maybe we have, maybe we don't. Again, like I said, I'm not going to cover it every minute of every day. But that was the idea behind the blockade. Can we crank up the pressure? Can we crank up the heat on the Iranian regime and get them to the negotiating table to agree to some things, to agree to the things we want them to agree to, right? Hey, we want all your nuclear dust. We had things. Donald Trump had things he wanted guaranteed. I don't know how you feel about this entire thing, whether you love it, whether you hate it. That's not what I'm saying. But do pray for a successful peace. It really is important that we come home now. It's important for a variety of reasons, but it's time to come home. It's time. It's also time to give something to preborn. It's time to save a baby's life. Let's never forget that every single day in America, preborn is out there saving 200 lives. Do you realize that? 200 a day. They set up these clinics in these high abortion areas, and these women who are about to abort their babies, preborn says, hey, why don't you come in for a free ultrasound? And if you choose life, we're here for you. We'll help you. You need a place to stay, diapers, substance abuse, whatever. We're here for you. That's powerful. And they save that life through the gift of ultrasound. Introducing a mother to her baby through ultrasound. When she hears the heartbeat, she chooses life almost every single time. By the way, did you know if you're a business owner, you can give a large donation? This is all, remember, it's all tax deductible. This is a write-off. You want to give them a grand? 20 grand? Do it. You want to give them 28 bucks, buy an ultrasound? Do it. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. Arming Iranian citizens. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos.
Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I did enjoy this exchange today between that moron, Greg Caesar, whatever his dumb name is, and RFK Jr. My goodness, you just paid taxes. Listen to what you paid
for. Have you met with any of the 1.4 million people who have lost their health insurance just this last year from dropping off of Obamacare? Have you sat down and talked to those folks about the fact they won't have their health insurance again?
They're almost all illegal immigrants.
Oh, well, you know what? It sounds like you haven't met with folks like Portia in my district.
We found 1.5 million illegal immigrants illegally collecting Medicaid.
1.5 million illegals. These blood-sucking leeches invade our country, and Democrats hook them up to the taxpayer dole, and you work day and night. They steal your money and hand it to dirty foreigners. Gosh, geez. Jesse, are we arming the Iranian citizens? Is anyone? Should we? All right, this is probably my last question on this. We tried to arm the Iranian citizens. We gave the Kurds weapons to arm the Iranian citizens, and the Kurds stole all the weapons. Donald Trump came out and said he was mad at them. He didn't name the Kurds, but I'm naming them for you. That's who it was. It was the Kurds. Trump came out on video and said they stole the weapons. I'm not happy about the whole thing. This is how it goes. It sounds so simple in the movies. Country of 90 million people. You don't just airdrop some AK-47s and have the people rise up and take out an entrenched government that's been there for 50 years. If you're one of the people today, and there are a lot of these people, maybe this is you, who is upset about the prospect of peace, a peace deal. I can't believe we're letting Iran have this or letting them have that. I can't believe we're going to leave the regime in place. I can't believe it. There are evil, terrible regimes all over the planet. The United States citizen and the United States fighting man, it is not his responsibility to take out every evil government on planet Earth. It's not even possible to do so. It is not his responsibility to do so. I am sorry. The world always has evil governments, evil tyrants out there, murderous dictatorships out there. They have always existed and they will always exist. We have tried for years and years and years to bounce around the globe and solve this problem. And lo and behold, we got as many now as we ever have, because that's the way the world works. I'm sorry. Dr. J, I eat much faster than my wife. Am I a bad person if I try to eat her food as soon as I'm done with mine? No, that's how she stays skinny. Jesse, my father and coincidentally my ex-husband both had earth-shattering, window-rattling, paint-peeling snores. So when enlisted or in barracks, bivouacs, or deployment, how do you deal with legendary snores? Let me tell you something. I'm not going to be able to explain this properly, but when you, at least, I can only speak for my 4 years as a very average grunt Marine. I was just an infantry Marine. Nothing special. I take that back. That is pretty special. But never mind. That's not important. You are exhausted all the time. All the time. You are always moving. There is never enough sleep. You never, ever, ever feel well rested. And then you're young and stupid. So when the weekends come and you're allowed to leave base, then you leave base and stay up till 2 in the morning doing stupid things so you don't even catch up on sleep in the freaking weekends. This is me telling you, you could fire up a chainsaw by a United States Marine and he would sleep through the night. Snoring is no problem whatsoever. It was certainly never a problem for me. When you finally get a chance, especially when you're out in the field, When you were out in the field, you're running, you're on the go all the time, all the time. Your body is wiped out, exhausted. You're getting screamed at, the stress of the whole thing. That's how it's supposed to be. I'm not complaining. But when you finally, finally have a moment to crawl into your crappy little sleeping bag on that crappy little pad you give you. You could be in the middle of the desert, and I often was in the middle of the desert. You crawl in there and boom, it's like someone flips a light switch. You are out, absolutely out, and grateful to be there. And remember, here's something they don't, well, it's not that they don't tell you, it's not that they're hiding it, but it's something you don't think about. Firewatch. I don't know what they call it in the Army or Navy or the Air Force.
Why are you gay?
You always have to have somebody in your unit awake. Oftentimes more than one somebody, but someone always has to be awake, alert, standing up, and looking around. This is in practice for war, where you can't just have everyone go to sleep. Then they sneak up on you and slit your throat in the middle of the night. So they call it fire watch. It's supposed to be to look out for fires, but it's to look out for everything. Well, they do a rotation on fire watch. So maybe the day finally ends, call it 7-8 o'clock at night. You've been going all day. You're wiped out, exhausted. Yeah, congratulations. You have the third watch. So you go crash and get to sleep as fast as you can. But in about 2 hours, they're going to come wake you up, because it's your turn to go stand up in the middle of the night, exhausted, for an hour. If you get caught sleeping, you're in deep, deep trouble. Don't do that. Those guys pay. They pay with pain. Anyway, you get up, and you have to interrupt your sleep for an hour, sometimes longer, and then you get to go back to sleep. Chris said first watch is the best watch. No question. First watch or last watch? You just want to be able to string together enough sleep. But also, fire watch is an incredible punishment. For instance, if you've screwed up a bunch of times, or maybe the whole platoon screwed up or something like that, they'll do something where they make half of the unit stay awake, and they'll switch it off every hour. So you stay awake for an hour, and then you have to go try to crash for an hour. Then they wake you up for an hour. Then you crash for an hour. It's a great way to just grind people down to the nubs. It's amazing. Speaking of grinding down to the nubs, Democrats are soulless and evil.
In New York, failure to honor ICE detainers resulted in the release of 6,947 criminal illegal aliens. Criminal illegal aliens. Almost 7,000. With crimes ranging from 29 homicides, 2,500 assaults, 200 burglaries, 300 robberies, 400 dangerous drug offenses, 300 weapons offenses, and 200 sexual predatory offenses.
Democrats are so evil. Rather than handing over illegals, criminals, by the way, to police, to ICE, they just open up the jails and let them out. Murderers, rapists, thieves. Think about how many people right now are listening to me in New York. Show's really big in New York, which we love. Democrats turned these animals loose in your neighborhood on purpose so they couldn't be deported. That's how evil the Democrat Party is. That's Jeff Van Drew. He said this too about Illinois.
In Illinois, they had the man who shot and killed Sheridan Gorman, an 18-year-old freshman, walk in a park with her friends in custody. But they let him go. And we know, because this committee obtained the Border Patrol documents when Jose Medina crossed into this country, he made no asylum claim, and agents determined he was unlikely to run away. And look what he did. And the Biden administration released him anyway, into our communities, onto our streets, into the park where Sheridan Gorman was walking with her friends. These same sanctuary policies protected the man who killed Katie Abraham, an Ohio University student who was sitting at a car, stopped at a red light, when a drunk illegal alien who had already been deported once before slammed into her at 78 miles an hour.
Democrats brought those people into your country on purpose. Remember that. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So many freaking questions, so let's get back to them. Hey, Jesse. We're the same age. But back as a teen, I was the guy that would try a triple backflip off the high dive at the public pool if challenged. I took my nieces and nephews there this week after they heard some legendary stories. I did manage a dive off of it, but truth be told, if there wasn't a line of people watching, I would have climbed back down that ladder and walked straight to my car. Any fears that have appeared that you weren't ready for? Fears that I wasn't ready for. All right, I'll give you two. One's pretty obvious. Probably everybody has this one. I'm a fairly confident driver because I have so many skills behind the wheel. What, Chris? I just have incredible driving instincts where I can, you know, they used to say Larry Bird could just see patterns emerging on the basketball court before other people could. That's why he was always one step ahead of everybody. That's the way I am driving. I notice things happening around me, so it's just a very smooth ride with me. So I don't have road fears. But now that I have one son driving and the other son working on, he's got his driver's permit now, it makes me nervous because of all the scumbags that are out there on the highway, all these dirty foreigners who can't read road signs and things like that. And what, there's nothing you can do. They give these guys CDLs. They're driving big rigs now. My boys are out there. So that I'll point out. Here's one more along the lines of what you were talking about. Now, I have never loved heights. I don't mind flying or anything like that, but heights. Joining the Marine Corps, though, really beat most of that out of me. You have to do rock climbing and rappelling and doing all kinds of stuff, jumping off of high things, climbing high things. They make you do so much of that stuff that it really beat most of that out of me, okay? Now, remember I told you we went to Montana last summer, be with my mom, and while we were up there, we don't like to sit around the house, so we did a lot of outdoor stuff. A lot of hiking, whitewater rafting we did. And we signed up and paid for this zip line course. You ever seen a zip line course? Just to break it down for you go climb something really tall. And then after you climb that really tall thing, you attach this carabiner to a zip line and you zip line down to something that's a little lower. And then once you're on that little platform, you zip line down to something else. And they have all different kinds of zip line courses. We've done them in Mexico before. Now, my boys are not allowed to be sissies. And they are not sissies. In fact, they're quite bold. So I agreed. I mean, I told them, yeah, I can't wait. Let's do this zip line course. And my boys are climbing up and down, zipping across, no problem. And so did I. Don't get me wrong. So did I. I'm going to tell you something I haven't told anyone. I didn't even tell my family, and I certainly didn't tell the boys. So I'm bearing my soul to you right here. I was freaking terrified the entire time. And I couldn't show it because I didn't want to look like a big wuss. But, man, I did not enjoy that zip line course. And if they asked to go again, if we ever get back to Montana, I might have to get sick that day. What, Chris? What? Chris said you still went, though. Well, yeah, I'm not going to be a wuss. Of course, I still went, but I was laughing the whole time. I was hamming it up big time. Isn't this fun? It was all a lie, and I mean a complete lie. I did not enjoy myself. If you had hooked me up to a heart rate monitor, I think I was going about 150 beats per second the whole time, and there was someone in our group, not in our family, but in our group, who chickened out on one of the first ones, and I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, you can do it. Come on. This is fun. We're having a blast. I wanted to go so badly. Hey, you know what? I'm going to take him down. I'm just going to look out for him and take him down. Not a good time. What, Chris? Chris said, was it the height or the movement? Oh, definitely the height. Definitely the height. Honestly, the actual zip lining is a total frigging blast, and I would highly recommend the zipline course, and it's completely safe. You're tied off, and you're tied off the whole time. It's not as if you're in some bad risk of dying. But you're on top of basically an unstable tree or an unstable platform, and you're looking down, and I know I sound like a complete wuss. I was a complete wuss. I don't know what has happened, if somehow some sort of a fear of heights has come back to me. Maybe I was just having a bad day. I don't know what it was, but I felt like the biggest freaking girl up there humanly possible, and I didn't tell anybody at all. All right. I have to play this. This is the mayor of a city with, I think Philly has 6 million people, 5 or 6 million people. It's a big city. This is the mayor of Philadelphia.
We are open for business here, but how dare you tell me, as mayor of this city, to tell the people in this city that we cannot and should not enact what is one of the most limited powers that we have, and that is to decide how we will drive revenue to the school district of Philadelphia.
By the way, Jewish producer Chris looked it up, and he said it's 1.5 million people, so I was just off by a few million, no big deal. I pretty much nailed that one. I knew I got it right. Anyway, that's the mayor of a major American city that has somewhere between 1.5 million and 5 million people. We can't be sure. I might be right, too. This is the mayor of Boston.
For example, if someone were to try to enter your home without a warrant, whether or not they are describing themselves as a federal immigration official, you should call 911. And in that case, our police officers are...
She's talking about ICE. This is the mayor of New York City.
I like to think of it this way. Government is driving the race car, and philanthropy is there to give it that turbo boost to cross the finish line. Or if you are a Mario Kart fan, government is Yoshi, and philanthropy is the golden mushroom, that edge we need to beat Bowser on the Rainbow Road. To belabor this metaphor even further, Bowser is corporate greed in this scenario.
How utterly embarrassing. Anyway, we have 2 hours. Hang on.